they never do evil plans.
Begonia.
All they ever want
let
is to grow. Smarter than us.
Violets.
They make a living give without any fuss.
Us.
Water,
water,
sun, and air
and
are all they need to grow. Do I have to get specific? I think plants
we are so terrific.
Plants are generous souls.
I don't know about you, but last night before I went to bed, I said my prayers, and I prayed that the forecast for this coming week will come true. That's rain, possibly Tuesday, Wednesday, and on Thanksgiving. A couple days this week, at least. That's what they're saying.
How much?
Who knows?
Oh.
Who cares? As long as it's more than just the moisture on my windshield in the morning. So we'll see how that changes, as we know. The weather conditions change dramatically here in Sonoma County day to day, hour to hour. But as of this point, we're hoping to get some moisture next week, which would be great news.
So get your property prepared. Get all your wooden handle tools put away and close your car windows. And
this weekend for me, it's gutter cleaning time because with those winds, every leaf in the neighborhood for miles ended up on my roof and in my gutters. And I'm sure there's some clogs, even though I do a good job. I have a feeling that there's going to be some pretty heavy debris in there.
You don't have those leaf guards open?
No, I don't.
Oh.
No, well, it's a long story.
Mm-hmm.
But that will be something to prioritize.
Mm-hmm.
If we do get a measurable rainfall, that could impact some overflow in our gutters. So do that if you have time in between your shopping.
Okay.
Hi there, Steve and Gwen. You may have answered this when I was not listening. I separated some peonies from another property in my family over two Februaries and made the mistake of parking them in pots in a temp nursery under my fave vintage oak. I usually don't plant or store any watered items under the tree. My garden helper suggested, but I learned later from him that it might have been too acidic under the oak because they got botrytis. So when I moved them into some recycled pots from a new hedge I planted, I placed them in a place with morning sun and 3 hours of shade in the hot part of the day, which I learned on your show. Do I spray copper now or just when they emerge? And so how many doses? Any other ideas? And thanks from a listener in Sebastopol, and that's Madeline.
Wow, that's a good one. let's see. Well, first of all, just because you had the potted peonies under an oak has nothing to do with the acid under the tree, under the oak tree, getting botrytis, which is also gray mold. It happens because maybe there was too much, you were watering the plants too much, and there's poor air circulation, and so the spores start growing, and it just starts turning gray. You see that a lot of times with cyclamens, that they're sitting out in the rain and then they start getting that gray fuzzy looking stuff on it, and then they don't flower anymore and the leaves start falling off and then they kind of die a slow death. That's the same thing what's going on here with the peonies. Grape clusters also get that when there's poor air circulation on your grapevines and all the grapes start getting that grayish mold stuff on them. You see them on fibrous begonias or other begonias. So it just is because of where they are. There's got to be a lack of air circulation, and you're overhead watering the plants, and because the spores are in the air, the right conditions, the warm temperatures and the dampness, the right plant, then boom, you're going to get this problem. So I wouldn't be spraying any copper on them. You said something when I moved them into recycled pots from a new hedge I planted. That I don't understand what that is. But anyway, if you want to move them someplace else, when the leaves die down, you can cut the leaves or wait until they turn brown, cut the leaves off. You might want to repot them into maybe they're overgrown and they need to be repotted into bigger pots. Shake off all the soil, let the tubers dry out a little bit, and then go ahead and replant them. Don't plant them too deep. You know, the eyes need to be just below the surface of the soil. Keep them out of the rain, when and if we get some rain. But, you know, wait until the leaves have died down, like I said, before you take them out of the pots and do all this transplanting. And in the spring, when they start to come up, I mean, make sure you just water the soil and get a moisture meter, or stick your fingers in the soil and see how wet the soil is before you go ahead and water them again, because you don't want them to be too wet all the time. So, but yeah, the oak tree and the acid soil, I don't know, that doesn't make sense whatsoever. So there you go. And hopefully, you know, you might have a variety that's susceptible to this. And then in any case, I mean, you could use some baking soda, water, oil solution that would be good for that instead of spraying copper. So I wouldn't do any spraying at this point, nothing. I would just try transplanting and see what happens in the spring. Take it from there.
Well, there's your answer.
Oh, they also give them a little bit more sun. You know, morning sun until, you know, 12 or 1 o'clock would be fine. It could also be getting the botrytis because it's too shady, too wet, you know, warm weather. So give them a little bit more sun and put them out in the open a little bit where they'll get some better air circulation, and that might just take care of it.
You can reach us live at 636-1350. No one on hold at this moment for hour number two of Garden Talk. You can get right in and ask 1, 2, 3 questions if you're well organized to get ready for the kind of increasing fall cold that we're experiencing this morning. 42 in lots of areas in Santa Rosa, may even get down in the 30s over the weekend. So time to make sure our gardens are put to bed properly. Or if you're planting fall vegetables, what you need to know about that. Plenty of time to get some fall vegetables in. When and what to prune, when and when to spray. A lot to do, of course, after Thanksgiving, because most of us are focused on the upcoming holiday. Reach us now, 636-1350, and we'll also grab one other email question, a quick one that we'll need to follow up on. Plenty of time to take email questions. We have an entire 45 minutes to go before we move from the greenhouse to the kitchen with Chef John Ash. It's the Good Food Hour, with a chance to win a beautiful gift basket of Sonoma County produced foods from Sonoma County Farm Trails. We're giving that away today on the show to a lucky Good Food Hour listener.
Petaluma hears FM News Talk KSRO on Crystal Clear FM at 94.5.
Thanksgiving. Big holiday. Simple word. Thanksgiving. A time set aside to be thankful for all that God has blessed us with. We gather around the table with friends and family, basking in the aromas of roast turkey and dressing, and cranberries and pumpkin pie. Oh, what a feast. And everything you need to prepare such a feast for your friends and family to enjoy, you can find at Hardesty's Homewares. Since 1924, literally thousands of holiday meals have been prepared with kitchenware purchased at Hardesty's. Sometimes people even bring something to the store just to say thanks. The friendly people at Hardesty's love those fresh baked goodies, and they're grateful this Thanksgiving for customers just like you who share their joy of cooking. Hardesty's Homewares, there's no place like home. There's no place like Hardesty's. Hardesty's Homewares, open Monday through Saturday in Farmers Lane Plaza at the corner of Farmers Lane and Bennett Valley Road in Santa Rosa.
Hun, I was thinking of expanding our outdoor living space with a motorized retractable awning.
I thought you wanted a patio cover.
I did, but then I saw these new retractable awnings in action at Sonoma County Sunrooms. They're sturdy and the quality is top-notch.
So retractable awning, huh? Sunshine and a covered patio? Sounds like something I could get behind.
Hi, this is David from SocoSun. Our design experts will work with you to create the perfect look for your home. We have so many options to help create your new favorite room.
You're right. One of these awnings will work great. What a wonderful way to expand our living space outdoors.
And it'll help add equity to our home, and we can still have it done in time for summer. Let's go check out the showroom.
And maybe we can stop for dessert on the way home.
Call to schedule a consultation in-home or at the Sonoma County Sunroom Showroom. Sunrooms, patio covers, and retractable awnings. Sonoma County Sunrooms on Santa Rosa Avenue, just north of Todd, or online at SoCoSun.com.
No one ever told me that transitioning back to civilian life was going to be harder than anything that I ever did in the Navy.
With an internal support network of fellow military members, Comcast is helping to make this transition easier.
Comcast gave me an opportunity. That was the call that changed my life.
At Comcast, we're grateful to our nation's military community for their dedicated service, and we're committed to hiring 21,000 service members between 2015 and the end of 2021. Visit ComcastCorporation.com/military to learn more.
Hi, this is Jamie inviting you to join us for a special event this weekend, the Sonoma County Holiday Home and Gift Show. In addition to the hundreds of kitchen and bath displays, as well as the garden and home remodeling exhibits you've come to expect, now in our 25th year, there will also be gift and decorating ideas that will help your home sparkle just in time for the holidays. Bring the kids because Santa Claus is coming to the home show. Plus, the Raven Theater will present short musicals all weekend long. Bring a non-perishable food item for the Redwood Empire Food Bank and get $2 off general admission. The Redwood Empire Food Bank will be on hand Saturday and will accept food donations all 3 days of the show. Join us at the Sonoma County Holiday Home and Gift Show this weekend at the Sonoma County Fairgrounds. Visit SonomaCountyHomeShow.com for more information.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
Gardening questions, gardening answers. That's what we do every Saturday morning since October 1987 in the KSRO greenhouse for all of Northern California. Steve Garner along with Gwen Kilcher in the greenhouse, taking your calls now at 636-1350 live, or you can always shoot us an email anytime during the show. That's steve@ksro.com. Donna is probably not the happiest person this morning because it appears she might have some skunk activity. Hi, Donna. Tell us about it. Unload yourself. There we have.
I don't see them right now. I think they're maybe hibernating or whatever. I live in a mobile home park.
Yeah?
Off of, close to Calistoga Road. And we have paths and stuff, and I have a really nice flower garden in front of my mobile home, and every night they come in there and dig up. I guess looking for worms or grubs. I just don't know how to get rid of them.
What a pain! Yeah, I feel for you. We got one of these little scarecrow things that it's a sensor. You plug it in. I think we put it in through an extension cord. You stab the pipe thing in the ground, you attach a hose to it, and it has different settings for the sensor. So when the skunk comes along and he's heading towards your lawn, the sensor goes off and it shoots out a spray of water. So it's an expensive little toy, but it works really well, and it keeps them away. I know several people that have thrown out fabric softening sheets, you know, in the dryer, mothballs and this and that. But, you know, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. You know, they just, I don't know how sensitive their smell is, but, you know, at least they're not going under your house and living under there and making babies and all that.
That's
so,
right.
I hope they're not.
Yeah, that is a pain in the neck. Other than that little sensor, maybe even a light. I wonder if you can put a little motion light out there, you know, even on the ground where they come, because sometimes if it's up too high and the light goes on, you know, they might be like, oh, okay, I'm not bothered by that. They get used to it. But maybe if it was sitting on the ground and they were coming towards it and then this spotlight thing goes on them, that might cause them to run away. So
yeah, I put the radio out there with a little bit, you know, on.
Yeah,
but I can't do that every night.
Yeah, and I don't think that helps either. Who was it? Years ago, we had somebody call in, and they had a CD of animals, like lions and tigers and bears, those sounds. And after a few days, it didn't work anymore. So they get used to things, especially when things aren't moving. I don't know. Maybe you can hang a big rubber snake out there and have it dangling in their face, or I don't know. Other than the water, that sensor thing, an emotion light. If somebody has a recommendation for you, Donna, let's listen in and see if anybody has something better than what I've suggested.
Well, I think that's a good idea. The Scarecrow runs about $50 or $60. They're not inexpensive, but they are
effective. They last forever.
But they last forever, and it gives a really strong spray of water into the exact area which you're aiming at. It's very effective.
And that's what I use.
And that's what I know you use. But I like the idea also of a motion detector as far as a spotlight that would come on in that area. They're not going to enjoy being blinded coming into your yard or garden with a strong spotlight area. So there's two things that can be effective and won't wake your neighbors up. You don't want a bullhorn going off in the middle of the night, and running talk radio or rock radio at night is probably not going to make your neighbors very happy, too. Otherwise, can you not exclude these? There's no fencing around this area?
No.
Well, those were a couple ideas. And, of course, the mothballs actually can work. Of course, once they get wet, they're not effective anymore.
I would have fun and go to the toy store and get a big, giant rubber snake, maybe one or two of them, and put them out there and see what happens.
You know what? That could work. I should try that.
Well, and keep listening, because I'm sure we have listeners out there that have encountered the same problem or experiencing the same problem you do have, Donna, with skunks, and maybe there'll be some more innovative controls. So keep listening, okay?
Is there any other thing that raccoons do the same thing, or is it mostly skunks?
No, raccoons will do it as well, but they do a lot more damage, I think.
They do.
In my yard, they have been digging up bigger holes and really destroying the lawn, where skunks are digging holes. They're digging holes here and there, and, you know, so
yeah,
I've seen them.
I see where they put their little nose down. I think that they smell, and they have a good smell, heard, and that's how they detect that there's something under the ground.
Yeah. Well, you've got three options there, so I hope one of them works for you.
Thanks for your call, and again, if anyone else has some innovative skunk control deterrence, share it with us at 636-1350 or steve@ksro.com. Bill would like to chat about flowers this morning. Bill, welcome to Garden Talk at KSRO. Hi.
Hi.
Morning. What can we do for you?
Well, I have a mandevilla.
Mm-hmm.
A double pink summer romance. Where can I get one? Because before, this friend of mine has got them from the East Coast, but she got a thing that they're no longer handling those.
Well, that's interesting. Mandevillas, you know, you'll probably find them late spring in the nurseries. There's a few different varieties out there. A few different white flowering, a dark pink, light pink, rose wine colors, this and that. They're pretty frost sensitive around here, so I'm surprised they even sell them back east. But check in the springtime at your favorite nursery, and, you know, some of them take special orders, too, so they could look up who they buy their plants from, who has it available, and make a special order for you and grow it. They like some shade, so, you know, you'll have to plant them when they get some morning sun, a little afternoon shade, in a protected spot, preferably in a pot, so then you could move it in, you know, in the garage or someplace where it'll be protected during the winter. So
yeah, because the double pink are the ones that are hard to find.
Yeah, so if you talk to your nursery, they can find out who's growing them through, you know, the supplier, and then make a special order for you, and you can get it that way.
Okay, thank you very much.
But you're not going to find them now, and if you do, they're probably going to be looking pretty sad at this time.
Right.
So, and then you have to take care of them through the winter. So start fresh in the spring. Okay,
thank you very much.
All right, Bill.
Bye-bye.
Yeah,
bye.
Good hearing from you. Is it unusual not to be able to find them now?
Double flowering varieties, Yeah, I don't remember seeing many of those anywhere. But they've been out for many years. They're a nice, you know, a big, almost like an avocado kind of leaf to it. They're a nice, substantial vine with big tubular-looking flowers.
They are pretty.
Not tubular, like big, impatient-looking flowers, but like five or six times the size. Yeah, but they don't like our winters. They don't like a lot of water, so you don't want to drown them. And, yeah, but they are pretty.
You used to sell them at Callaway's, didn't you?
Yeah, when they first came out, you know, plain pink and plain white ones. Mm-hmm. And then there was a dark wine-colored one that came out, and then these double ones were coming out. So, yeah.
So talk to your favorite nursery, Bill, and they can tell you what would be available. Shirley would like a word with us. Welcome to Garden Talk live at KSRO. Good morning, Shirley.
Good morning, Gwen. Good morning, Steve.
Hello.
Another thing that doesn't work with the skunks.
Okay.
It doesn't work. Absolutely do not have your dog go out to scare it away.
Oh.
Well, Gwen, you could attest to that, can't you?
Yeah, but I didn't have him go out after the skunks. I just had my dog go out to the bathroom before we went to bed. And, of course, the dang skunk had to be out there at the same time and nailed my dog.
Well, that's actually what happened to me. I didn't send the dog out. I'm a little smarter than that. But she went out, and oh my gosh, both of us ended up taking a shower together, and I have some of that denature skunk remover thing, and oh my God, we ended up in the shower together. And so, anyway, don't do that. I forget the gal's name. Don't have your dog.
No.
Okay, and another thing is, really quickly, the leaves that didn't make it into your gutters, Steve, are in my gutters, so I'm just saying.
That's too bad. Well, you know.
Yeah.
Put them in your.
Go ahead.
Put them in your compost pile. Don't throw them away.
Right. Exactly. Okay. And my question is, Lavatera.
Uh huh.
They're really, of course, they're way past blooming and they're stringing whatever. And I've been meaning to call you for weeks and weeks and weeks, and I didn't. Do I prune them back now? How far back or when or what?
I like to prune mine back early in the spring after the frost of danger has passed. Because a couple times I cut mine back in the winter time along with my other winter pruning I was doing. And for some reason, a lot of the branches were just dying on me. And so I thought, you know, maybe it doesn't like to be pruned in the winter. Some people do it and they're fine. I think the younger the plant, it's okay, but when as these plants get older and you're cutting into, you know, thicker wood, older branches and whatnot, I don't think it likes that. So I just wait until early spring and I do all my pruning then. And, you know, the bigger the plant gets, don't go cutting it back so far into that older wood. Because I think, you know, you're going to have a lot of shoots that pop up, and it's not going to look very attractive. So if you want to have that nice, beautiful, open shape that Lavatera does, then be selective with your pruning. And if you're going to have to cut into those older, thicker branches, then just maybe you need to cut them all the way to the ground and thin some of the branches out, like you would bougainvillea. Let me out bougainvillea. Butterfly bush, buddleia. Similar pruning to that is what you do. But
okay,
buddleia you can prune now. It doesn't seem to care when you prune it. But Lavatera seems to be a little bit more picky, finicky.
Okay, so my procrastination worked. I can wait till spring.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I do.
Okay.
And I've been pretty successful so far compared to pruning in the wintertime when some of these branches were just dying and like, what the heck? What did I do to you? So
thank you. Yeah, and my buddleia or my butterfly bush, I can do now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
You can do now.
Great.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you so much, both of you.
Oh, you're welcome, Shirley. Have fun pruning.
Okay. Will do.
Have fun.
Okay. And cleaning your gutters.
And cleaning the gutters.
Yes.
Take care. Have a great Thanksgiving. Nice talking with you. Earlier, we had a question about fire retardant plants, least likely, most likely. There's a lot of information that you can get from the California Native Plant Society. They have a whole fire recovery guide that lists all kinds of plants from most to least flammable. And you can go to their website, and I think you might still be able to get a copy of this booklet that they sent to us and a lot of homeowners. Go to the California Native Plant Society. But They did provide us a little quiz. They sent us this, actually it was last 2 years ago in 2017. And the question is, which is least flammable in a September-October California garden? Gwen, I'm going to give you this quiz.
Oh, shoot.
I know you don't you don't know the answer, but I do so.
Oh, okay.
Here it is. An Indian hawthorn, that's Raphiolepis indica, on a drip irrigation. B, an apple tree in an orchard. C, a redwood deck. D, juniper, Feitzer on drip. Or E, an unwatered ceanothus, California mountain lilac. Which is the least flammable out of all those choices?
Well, my husband's always told me how fire-resistant redwood is, so I'm going to go on a limb and say the redwood deck.
Well, that is C. That is the third least.
Is that right?
Most fire-retardant, least flammable is an unwatered ceanothus, California mountain lilac. They could not ignite it even when it was unwatered.
Well, so yeah, that's remarkable. Got, thick green leaves, so... Yeah, it's evergreen.
Yeah.
So that makes sense. Yeah, the apple, okay. You cut down an apple tree and use it for firewood. Yeah. Okay.
So ceanothus, actually, ceanothus is a lovely plant also.
I would have also thought the India hawthorn.
Oh, that's the most flammable.
Really?
12 seconds.
Wow.
So it's interesting. So you can get all this information online through the California Native Plant Society. They have a lot of great info. Wow.
Excellent.
That's a place to go. We have Lorraine who would like a word with us from Petaluma. Welcome to Garden Talk. Hi, Lorraine.
Hi, thank you. I had the same question as Donna, so I'll just move on to another question. I suspect it's raccoons that's doing the digging. I'd also like to know, raccoons actually pull persimmons off trees? I've lost a number of persimmons and there was no sign like there generally is with birds getting to them, so I figured it's got to be something else, and we do not have ground squirrels.
Are the branches broken?
I didn't notice that.
Because if they're going to pull, I notice with my trees, you pull the persimmon off, and sometimes you break the branch, too. So it's best if you just cut them with pruners or, scissors or something, or twist them off. But if you go and pull persimmons off a branch, a lot of times you're going to break that branch. Unless the persimmon is really ripe and it's almost ready to come off the tree, then it'll come off a little bit easier. But I would think if raccoons were going after your persimmons, you'd have a lot of damage done in your tree. And do you see any of them that are still on the tree that have holes in them or anything?
I lost all but six. And it was in a very short time.
Yeah.
What I was wondering is if I net them next year, if I'd have better luck.
Well, okay, do you have the little calyxes that are still stuck to the stem, or is the entire thing gone?
Entire thing gone.
Okay, then it could be raccoons that are gently pulling them off or somehow getting them off, because... if they were birds or some animal of some sort, they would leave that little piece stuck on there because that's not tasty and they're not going to eat it. So, somebody's been pulling them off. Get a closer look, too, and see if any branches are broken. I would be curious.
Okay.
I can't believe they'd be that gentle.
Don't
do the bird netting because birds get stuck in the bird netting. You could put some tall PVC pipes up in the tree with a T across the top of it and dangle some of that mylar reflective tape all along the horizontal piece. So you have several pieces dangling, and that'll keep the birds away. But as far as keeping the raccoons or whatever other creatures in there going after them, those scarecrow things I was saying that shoots the water through the sensor, those things will work well, keeping them away. You could also, my father-in-law has put these big plastic owls and those big rubber snakes up in his tree.
Okay.
But every few days he moves them around.
Yeah.
Because if you let them sit there, they get wise to this and they're like, oh, these guys are probably dead. So they go in there.
Reflective mylar tape?
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Across the you know, PVC pipe, mm-hmm. and you have like a little T thing on it. You have a horizontal, right. and then you have several pieces hanging way up at the top of the tree. But that's good for birds. I don't think the raccoons okay. or anybody's going to be bothered by that. But that scarecrow water sensor thing works really well because they don't like to get wet. And try also the cheapest way would be the owls and the rubber snakes, and okay. move them okay. move them around. But yeah. Aw, what a pain. What a pain.
I have one other question, if you have time to address sure. this. I'd like to know what to do to raspberry plants right now. You know, they dried up. Do I need to prune it? How far down?
Well, I keep it pretty simple. I don't do anything to my raspberry plants until springtime because I have other things that I have to do. And you will see the new growth coming up in the spring if it hasn't already started now. And then you will see all the canes that are dead because the ones that had fruited this year will be dead next year. So you can cut those to the ground and get rid of them, and it makes it really easy to see who's alive and who's dead. And then you get rid of all that, you put some compost on top of the ground, and then they'll be good to go for next year. I know some okay. people that just mow everything down to the ground, and if the plants are really robust and healthy, and they'll all come back up and they produce raspberries. And but if you have plants that are kind of like not so happy and this and that, you won't get very good production. So I like my way of just waiting until spring, and you can cut out those canes that are dead, and you're done. Okay.
Is there any harm in cutting the vines off now?
No, just cut the canes. If you see the little where the little fruits were, the little calyxes that were that mm-hmm. are still stuck, cut those all the way down to the ground, and then okay. leave everybody else that didn't fruit. Leave that for next year because you'll get the fruit on those canes next year.
There's your answer, Lorraine.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right.
Our pleasure. Don't go away. Right after this break, we have listener Chris on the line who says he thinks he's got the answer on skunks.
Join the switch to crystal clear KSRO-FM, 103.5 Santa Rosa, Windsor, 94.5 Petaluma. Hear the difference.
There's a better way to garden and landscape in Sonoma County, and it starts at A Better Way Produce and Nursery on Stony Point Road, just north of Todd in Santa Rosa.
Hi, Daniel R. Gibbs, botanical artist. I'm the award-winning resident licensed landscape designer and contractor. It's a great time to plant your winter garden. We have a large selection of veggie starts, including many varieties of lettuce, broccoli, cabbage, onions, leeks, spinach, turnips, sugar snap peas, and Valencia onions, the ones they use for the blooming onions. Winter bulbs are arriving, cyclamen, tulips, and music mix columbine in all the colors of the rainbow. Come and see our great landscape display at the Sonoma County Fairgrounds Home and Garden Show, November 22nd, 23rd, and 24th.
A Better Way Produce and Nursery, 3615 Stony Point Road, just north of Todd. Open 7 days a week, 9 to 4:30.
Enjoy the last of the summer vegetables and fruits at the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market. The market is popping with the colors of fresh greens, mushrooms, carrots, potatoes, turnips, Brussels sprouts, and winter squash, along with seasonal pomegranates, persimmons, apples, walnuts, almonds, and even fresh chestnuts. Meet local ranchers offering a variety of quality meats, beef, pork, and lamb. Salmon Creek Ranch is taking orders for your Thanksgiving or Christmas goose. There's fresh fish and crab from Anna's Seafood. Everything you need to create the freshest Thanksgiving feast is at the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market. Check out the creations of the many talented artisans for holiday gift giving. Open year-round Wednesdays and Saturdays, 8:30 till 1 p.m. at Luther Burbank Center for the Arts. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, where it's always fresh, local, and fun.
Here's a message from the Marin Sonoma Mosquito and Vector Control District.
So much water, so little time. A mosquito can go from egg to an adult in less than a week. Dump out containers and other items holding standing water. Clean out clogged rain gutters, empty potted plant saucers. Anything that can hold water for more than 5 to 7 days has the ability to produce mosquitoes.
Report mosquito problems to the Marin Sonoma Mosquito and Vector Control District at msmosquito.com.
This year, the Home Depot can help bring the holidays home for free with free delivery on online holiday decor like artificial Christmas trees, big, small, white lights or multicolor, 140 varieties. Pick one out and we'll deliver it over the river, through the woods, right to your door for free. Free delivery on online holiday decor only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. U.S. only. See store for details.
With Sonoma County's most accurate, most dependable forecast, here's Daniel Trucios on the KSRO Weather Watch.
They'll have sunny skies for the weekend. Today, a high of 70 degrees, 59 on the coast. Clear skies tonight, low 39 inland and on the shores. Blue skies for Sunday at 69, 58 in Bodega Bay. Monday, a few clouds at 66. We do have some rain and showers for Tuesday. Depend on weather every 30 minutes on FM News Talk 103.5 and 94.5 KSRO.
If you're wondering what's coming up on the Good Food Hour with Chef John Ash, let me tell you, we will be chatting about some upcoming classes that John will be teaching that you'll want to know about. Also, some last-minute Thanksgiving news that you'll also want to know about, a great place to get some pies. And also, a couple hundred turkeys are being smoked today. We'll tell you about where that is happening. We will also be chatting with Daniel Gritzer, who is Culinary Director for Serious Eats, one of our top online resources for how-to great cooking online information. He'll share some terrific Thanksgiving tips with us this morning. And then special guests in the kitchen this morning, Dusky Estes from Black Piglet is joined by Ellen Cavalli from Tilted Shed Cider Works. And they will be talking about Sonoma County Farm Trails today. They're bringing in a beautiful gift basket filled with locally produced Sonoma County farm products to give away to a lucky KSRO listener today on the show. A little holiday gift from KSRO and Sonoma County Farm Trails. It should be fun. Well, I know everyone was waiting to hear the skunk tip from Chris, but Chris didn't hang on. So Chris, if I can encourage you to call us back, we're waiting to find out how to rid ourselves of skunks. 636-1350 if you have a moment to call us back.
Okay.
In the meantime, we have an email question. Hi, Stephen Gwen. We have overgrown black elderberry, 10 to 12-inch canes. They're intertwined around and reach over the first floor roof, 15 to 20 feet high. Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
Looking for the sun. It's also in a shady area in these next to the house and 10 feet away from a 10-foot-tall privet in front of a fence and behind an 8 to 10-foot Japanese maple, which faces the sun's path. Nobody's happy. Light is restricted. I had to severely cut the crown of the elderberry due to a new roof installation and was over my neighbor's roof in September. I was told by a local nursery I can severely cut the crown the elderberry and it will recane it itself. It has strong roots. The neighbor's privet has lost leaves and the Japanese maple is misshapen due to light restrictions. I want the plants and my wife to be happy. What a good guy, Jeff.
The Japanese maple, you could shape that into any kind of shape that you want and direct the branches to go where you want and, you know, have it look really nice. So that's easy to do. The black elderberries, wow. Yeah, that plant can get to be pretty tall, like 20, 30 feet and, you know, not as wide, but pretty dang tall. And it does send up all these shoots. I had one in my area, and it was getting some morning sun, afternoon shade, and I did cut the thing to the ground because it was just taking over everything. And yes, your gardener, your nursery person is correct. You can cut that plant down, and it just sends up more shoots again, especially if it's a nice, healthy plant and it's getting enough water and it's happy where it is. So yeah, he's going to take over that entire corner there and not make your privet and Japanese maple happy. But yeah, I'd get rid of the privet. I mean, those things are nasty. And good luck digging that. Yeah.
Took me two and a half days.
It sounds like you have a lot of plants in a small area. So, yeah, everybody's not going to be happy if they're competing for space. So do what you can with the Japanese maple. Yeah, go ahead and cut down that elderberry. I think I cut mine down to maybe a foot to the ground. I just got that reciprocating saw and just cut everybody down. And I thought, okay, you're dead. Wrong. It came back. But once it started coming back, I did some selective pruning, and I kept it under control. Now I haven't kept it under control. It needs to be under control again. But, yeah, those guys are really tough. Sometimes you sacrifice the pretty little flowers that it makes. And the elderberries, they never did make many of them, so I wasn't sad about losing the fruits.
We will take a break, but not after until we tell you about the Arrowhead spinach. Dennis Dunn from the Original Certified Farmers Market has been talking about the Arrowhead spinach for the past several weeks. And I knew in the back of my mind when he first mentioned it, I said, I know I've seen this listed in some catalog. And I bet it's, and I mentioned this several weeks ago, maybe something that Kitazawa Seed Company down in Oakland might sell, because it sounded like an Asian green. And sure enough, it is. It's called Akame, O-K-A-M-E. It's a hybrid. It's an early maturing hybrid. It's a Japanese variety recommended for summer harvest as it tolerates hot, dry conditions, and it's slow to bolt and has good resistance to downy mildew. This variety has thick, medium green lobed leaves and is, of course, mentioned resistant to downy mildew and also good eating. Good for stir fry also. So Dennis had mentioned this several times that a grower had it at the farm market, but it was out this week. Well, it sounds like something maybe you might want to investigate and possibly plant.
I know there's a few other seed companies that sell. They, you know, give a description of arrowhead-shaped leaves. And, you know, so I don't know of any variety names. That's good to know.
Yeah,
sounds like something I have to grow.
So Okame, O-K-A-M-E. And you can find out if any local nurseries are selling seeds of that, or just go to Kitazawa's website, which is a great website read more about the arrowhead spinach. So there's your answer.
We'll be
back. We have a listener that says they might have a solution to the skunks, who just emailed us. We'll find out after this.
Traffic on the fives. Weather six times an hour. Sonoma County's morning news with Pat Kerrigan on FM News Talk, KSRO.
This is George Adair with Cross Country Mortgage. If you're in the market to buy a home, this message is for you. My team and I are experts at providing hands-on assistance to getting your home financing done fast and with confidence. In fact, we're closing purchase loans in as fast as 10 days on many of the programs we offer. The best part is our pre-approved buyers don't need a loan contingency in making their offer. That makes buyers look as good as cash. If you're applying for a home loan at your bank, ask them if they can close in 10 days with no loan contingency. I promise they can't. When you're buying a home, speed to close and a true loan approval are necessary to win the offer. How do we do it? Cross Country is a direct lender with amazing technology, experience, and a local presence. Our process is proven to help buyers win in this competitive housing market. If you're ready for a great lending experience, call 707-583-8100. That's 707-583-8100. Or visit georgiadair.com. That's georgiadair.com.
Cross Country Mortgage, NMLS ID 2039, and Georgia Dare, NMLS ID 245370. Equal housing lender, subject to credit approval.
Hi, folks. This is the Deckmaster, Weston Levins, with a tip for anybody who is about to build a new wood deck, fence, or patio cover. Before you build your project, pre-coat every board on four sides with Q-Tech Extreme Wood Finish. You can stack the wood while it is still wet, and then give it a finish coat when you're done building. Q-Tech Extreme has unparalleled penetration into even the densest hardwoods. Once inside, it repels moisture from the inside out. This dramatically increases wood stability and reduces cupping, warping, and cracking. That's why when Professional Deck Builder magazine conducted a 2-year test of outdoor wood finishes, they rated Q-Tech Extreme as the best. It was the best in penetration, color retention, and ease of application. Ask for Q-Tech, C-U-T-E-K. Q-Tech Extreme is available at Healdsburg Lumber, Sonoma Paints, and Plaza Paints.
Distributed by Deck Supply Warehouse, LLC, Windsor, California. For more information about Q-Tech Extreme, go to DeckSupplyWarehouse.com.
I'm Daniel from Atlas Pavers, inviting you to the grand opening of our new showroom in Santa Rosa. We'll have refreshments, and you can get 10% off your qualified project for just coming by. Joining us will be the Mark West Chamber and Annie from Coffee Strong.
Hi, this is Annie. Atlas Pavers is donating 3% of every job to the Fire Rebuild Neighborhood Projects.
That's Saturday, December 7th, 9 to 5, with a ribbon cutting at 2, 1710 4th Street in Santa Rosa. Online at atlaspaversco.com.
This month, win big at Graton Resort and Casino. Multiplier Wednesdays, get up to 7 times the points. On Thursdays, play in our anniversary slot tournaments. Win up to $15,000 cash at each tournament. Get your collectible anniversary rewards card. New members, sign up for Graton Rewards and get up to $500 in free play. Learn more at GratonResortCasino.com. Complete rules available at the Rewards Center.
It is Garden Talk. It is live. It is KSRO. It is Steve and Gwen, as always, on Saturday morning. G.S. Robinson writes, hi, guys. We had a problem with both skunks and others looking for grubs in our lawn last year. I was told by a master gardener to buy a big jar of hot pepper flakes and spread over the area. It seemed to work, according to this one email. Your thoughts on red pepper flakes, Gwen?
It's temporary. Yeah, you know, you put any nasty smelling anything out there, like we just talked earlier about mothballs, moth flakes and whatnot. So, you know, anything that you put out there is temporary, but then what happens when we get rain? And then it just dilutes them, and yeah, then that's that. So then you have to reapply, just like what we used to do with, we used to tell people with deer, you know, you shake cayenne sauce, hot pepper sauce, like whatever, garlic, on the leaves and all sauce, that stuff. So, yeah, you know, but then when the rain comes, it washes off. So that's the problem. You know, a lot of these might keep them away for a little bit, but then it gets ineffective and its potency is not there anymore. So, and then they seem to find their way back.
Well, people are always going to start on the least toxic and least expensive possible controls, and red pepper flakes, if that did it for you, congratulations. And maybe generationally, mom and dad will tell babies don't go there because there's red pepper flakes, but you probably get visited again. But why not try it? Of course, once it rains, you're going to have to reapply it.
And then when it rains again, you have to reapply it. Okay. And then well, it rains again.
You can get maybe go to a warehouse store and get 5 pounds of red pepper flakes at Costco.
What's that going to do to your lawn? Yeah.
So, anyone has really some foolproof tried and true methods for dissuading skunks, we've got a whole folder on what to do after your skunks have sprayed your dog or yourself. We've got all kinds of ideas for that. Yeah. But as far as really skunk diversion, not
there's
too
nothing
much
that's foolproof. You know, these guys are very tricky.
Karen from up in Healdsburg would like a word with us. Welcome to Garden Talk. Hi, Karen.
Hi, good morning.
Hi there.
Hi, my son recommended I call you because I just posed the question of planting tulips. I just picked up a 15 pack of Triumph tulips, and I'm wondering if I should wait until after the rains when the ground is easy to dig to plant, or should I go out there today while it's sunny and get them in?
If the soil's easily workable, go ahead and get them in now. You know, if you have nothing else to do and that's on your list of things to do, get it done so you don't procrastinate. But if you have other things to do and your soil is a little difficult to dig because it's dry, mm-hmm, go ahead and wait for the rain. But, you know, if we don't have enough rain that's going to make a dent in the moisture in the soil, then, okay, so, you know, it's not going to hurt either way if you plant now or plant later. It just depends on how many things are on your list of, you know, things to do.
Are you going to plant daffodils too?
I didn't buy those. Do you recommend daffodils?
Oh, well, yeah.
They're good. They're deer and gopher resistant. They usually don't
like
it.
Oh, okay.
Don't you think so?
I'm actually in the city of Healdsburg on a corner, so I have a nice lot. And I'm remembering now I did put daffodils in
Yeah, those yellow daffodils are beautiful, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's, mm-hmm. you know, salmon colors and, you know, two-tone colors, frilly ones, and, you know. So, yeah, so.
And I've never planted tulips, so I'm a little, I've kind of green some, but I saw a show, of course, in Holland, and all the tulips inspired me. So I was at the feed store, picked this up. So you think I should have some luck with these?
You should have 100% good luck with them if you plant them. If your soil is good enough to work with, okay, and then you plant them deep, you know, at least 2 to 3 inches deep, and, you know, give them enough room, space them apart, you know, 4 to 6 inches apart, and, you know, so you can either plant them now or plant them after it rains.
There's your answer, Karen.
Thank you so much. I'm inspired to go out there today. It's beautiful, and I don't have anything more important than getting my hands in the dirt today. So thank you so much.
And if your soil is really hard to work with and you're needing a pickaxe, then that's not the best spot for those tulips.
Okay, that's good advice. I think I've got good spots for them.
All right, Karen, have a great Thanksgiving. Thanks for calling.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Back after this.
Rincon Valley hears KSRO on Crystal Clear FM at 103.5.
The jewel of the Sonoma Coast, Bodega Bay. Home of the historic Inn at the Tides Restaurant, Hotel, and the Bayview Restaurant. Serving authentic Italian cuisine all year round.
It's time to make reservations for Thanksgiving at the Bayview Restaurant. Start with your choice of first courses, including chilled scallops and prawns with avocado and grapefruit salad, or butternut squash soup. Then enjoy a traditional Thanksgiving feast with turkey and fixins, or try the poached halibut with champagne saffron broth or black Angus filet mignon. A holiday feast wouldn't be complete without dessert. Choose traditional pumpkin or pecan pie, pumpkin cheesecake, or a trio of Italian-style ice cream with whipped cream and chocolate fudge.
The Bayview Restaurant at the Inn of the Tides. Less than 30 minutes from Santa Rosa, but seems a world away. Go to innatthetides.com for more info.
It's hard to explain the anxiety when you're leaving the service. Finding a suitable career in the civilian market, that's the scary part. When someone from Comcast called, it was like seeing a lighthouse.
At Comcast, we're grateful to our nation's military community for their dedicated service, and we're committed to hiring 21,000 service members between 2015 and the end of 2021. Visit ComcastCorporation.com/military to learn more.